Welcome back to The Rush. It's Ryan and Jay. 5:45 this afternoon, the roundtable, biggest stories of the day, drilled down upon in passionate fashion. Host of the Pole Position podcast, John Pohl, joins us. Also, Selena Caesar Chauvin, former Liberal MP and senior advisor at Queen's University and author. Inside the roundtable. That all for big ass fans, ideal for home and business applications, including clean air system models to kill viruses. Go to bigassfans.ca for more details.
It's 5:35 on a Friday afternoon. Toronto Mayor John Tory rejoins the program. Mr. Mayor, nice to have you.
Hi, guys.
This is happening, of course, on a day where Toronto found out that, yes, it was granted the extension of the lockdown orders here in the city of Toronto, the region of Peel, and up in North Bay, while our counterparts in York region are in a different level. They'll be experiencing things like restaurants and gyms and that kind of stuff in limited capacity. It's been heated, Mr. Mayor. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to sugarcoat it for you. I'm sure you're hearing it from all sides as well today. I'll play a clip of a caller who just called in a second, but what's your initial reaction to a lot of people who are just tired, beaten, fed up, and willing to go anywhere that isn't Toronto to spend some money and to get the hell out of this city?
Well, my reaction is to say that I understand their frustration, but I think they would be even more frustrated about a month and a half or 2 months from now if we'd opened up, prematurely when the numbers are still not where they should be and that we had to then lock down again. I mean, if they're frustrated today, imagine how frustrated they'll be when we have all those nice cafe TO patios ready to go. We have the stores that have been open for 6 or 8 weeks. People are getting used to being able to go and do some of those things again. And we announce because we've had another explosion of COVID-19 or of the variants that we have to close down again. And that's exactly what we're trying to avoid by doing this.
We've also got a question at 7:10:10. Let me bring this one to you. What's the benefit for Toronto to remain under lockdown when York is open? For context, I live near the York border. My husband works in Vaughan. How will keeping the closure of Toronto help reduce cases? Because this is not a regional approach. This person saying that the lockdown is punitive to small businesses in the city, understanding that the decision is provincial. She wants your perspective and would like to know if the mayor tried to influence York region to create a more regional approach.
The answer to the latter question is yes. I, as you know, chair meetings of the mayors and chairs of the 11 biggest municipalities in the GTA every Monday, and we had a discussion a couple of weeks ago, and I said, wouldn't it be preferable if we could take a regional approach? By that I mean Durham, York, Peel, and Halton, and Toronto, and the answer that came back from some of those was no, that they wanted to do their own thing, because the numbers on the case counts per 100,000 are worse in York than they are in Toronto. Not very much. They're very close together. But the Premier commented correctly today, and this is the thing that people have to understand. Two things. Number one, the numbers in Toronto and Peel are still well worse than the provincial average. And number two, the average case count per week is still way above where it was at the end of last summer. Way above. So while it's significantly improved because of the lockdown we've been going through, and that people should take note of that, I say respectfully, they are not where they need to be. And you have added on top of that, since last summer, the variants that are of grave concern to all of the people who examine these public health trends, including the Premier mentioning that today, too. He called them scary, I think. Well, I tell you, they gave me a presentation, and it was scary in terms of the potential that could occur. And, I remember Ryan and Jay very well sitting in a room last March, almost a year ago now, when they presented to me some projections that said if we did nothing, because at the time everything was pretty much open, if we did nothing, 8,000 people in the city of Toronto alone could die. And as it is, we've had all these lockdowns, and close to 3,000 people have died in this city, just in this city, almost 7,000 in Ontario. And so when I get those presentations, because I hear all the people calling in saying, we have bad leadership and they don't know what they're doing, I would ask them what they would do if they were presented with the prospect of more people dying and thousands of more people getting sick and of a third wave coming that could be worse than the second one. How would they react? Would they just say, throw the doors open and let her rip? I don't think so.
You may have already spoke to this, but we mentioned the frustration that we're hearing on our phone lines today. This is just one of our callers.
So, what kind of lockdowns are we doing if no one's enforcing anything? If people are just fed up, the whole thing, we had a 14-day incubation period for this thing. Shut the whole country down, shut the world down, like I said before, for 30 days. No one moved, and this thing should be gone, right? But no, they keep on moving, opening, closing, shut down. Everybody from Toronto was a Vaughan Mills, thousands of people that went to Oakville and to Durham. The whole thing's a joke. I don't know. What do you want me to believe now? You know what I mean, guys?
So you can hear the frustration there, and you can certainly hear, you know, him spinning that scenario, and it's probably the worst case one, that people aren't listening. They're just going to go do what they want to, and we're right back where we started.
Well, some people do that, but, you know, and I saw this at Christmas. We actually saw the data on the phones moving between regions when Toronto was more closed down and, say, Durham was open for Christmas shopping. And guess what? I mean, then the case count got worse after that. So, look, most people have actually been following the advice and doing their very best, and I hope that they will just continue to do that for, yes, another 2 weeks, but it's only another 2 weeks. It's not 2 months. And I think by doing it for another 2 weeks, if people follow it, and I must say I've been a bit mystified myself at watching the traffic reports. When I'm often on TV in the morning and I see the traffic reports and you just see the headlights coming down the parkway or in the Gardiner, yeah. And you wonder, who are all these people? And if they're supposed to be staying home, why are they coming here? But having said all that, hopefully people won't do that. And I hope that they understand that the incentive to not do it is that we will have spring coming, number one. Number two, we will not have to have another lockdown if people, you know, do the right thing. And number three, we've got the vaccinations coming, all of which should make a difference to mean that this could be and should be and hopefully will be the last lockdown. We don't want to have another one. That's why we recommended, the medical officer did, and I supported her. And I'm not backing away from supporting. You're not going to find me having her recommend this and me then go run in the corner and say, well, it should be something else. I asked her 1,000 questions. I talked to other people who are also experts, and they all said the variants are scary, to use the premier's words, and we should be very careful. And the schools are open. I don't want the kids to get sick. So, you know, I mean, you just can only do the right thing. I heard you saying earlier on, Ryan, that people have trusted us, meaning the leaders, three times. Trusted us to do the right thing, I think, is what they trust us, to try and do the right thing, knowing there is no right or wrong answer here. And yeah, that's all we're trying to do, is to try to do the right thing.
Let me ask you, because I wanted to actually piggyback off of that, because you say, you know, it's going to be two more weeks, and I believe you because I know you. A lot of people don't know Dr. Davila, and we're getting this text message almost every 10 minutes. We'll get somebody writing in saying, listen, this is an unelected official. They made this proposal to the province. It seems like the province is giving this a rubber stamp. This person seems like they're in control, not just her, but, you know, her colleague in Peel Region, shutting down these regions without anybody saying no. And that's jarring to people. Like it or not, it's jarring to people. So there are a lot of people saying, you know, will it be just 2 weeks? Or is this medical official going to come up and say it's got to be another 2 weeks? So I think people may trust you because they know you, but it might be a little uneasy for them. And they might not see an end to this because they're not sure about the medical officials behind the scenes that seemingly, and I know that's not the case, but seemingly get carte blanche.
But let's remember, I mean, we are dealing here with a virus that was discovered a year ago. There are so many unknowns, even about the variants now, so that I think anybody who is being honest, and I'm trying very hard to be honest with you and everybody else every single day, can't tell you that, you know, that date in March, is the 8th or the 9th, will be the day. Because what if we have seen a terrible wave of the variants come as of that time? And so I think what you're saying to people is that we've got to watch all of these trends and all of these threats that exist to public health and make the decision that is right as you approach that day, just as I said in approaching February the 22nd. And so I will tell you of Dr. Davila, I mean, she is a consummate professional. She's backed up by a staff of good people. But I'll also tell you, if people don't like her or don't trust her, the provincial public health staff said exactly the same thing. They made a presentation last Thursday talking about all this and saying these variants were a real scare. And I think most of them left to make a decision about this would not reopen. And I think part of the reason why the Premier accepted the advice from Toronto and Peel is because his own people were telling him the same thing. The numbers in Toronto and Peel, different, I will say, than other parts of the province, are not yet where they should be if you want to be comfortable starting to reopen the economy.
Now, we know you commented on the Paula Fletcher story earlier this morning with John Moore, as I'm sure you heard again and again and again and again all afternoon about voting from the bathroom. But Ryan had a bit of a different
spin. Well, that's where I'm talking to you from right now.
Okay,
yeah, we knew it.
Now, Ryan had a bit of a different spin on it this afternoon, and it wasn't about distracted driving. Ryan, you want to talk about that?
I just think it's very poor governance and poor planning when you have a city councilor on a very important vote that's got something else booked at the end of the day, who doesn't have her assistant take the wheel of the car and sit and at least concentrate on the vote itself. And I know you've been on with us, and I'm going to confess to you, I'm sometimes uncomfortable that you're talking to us while a vote is going on. Now, you obviously don't do that on a budget day or something of that magnitude. Is there any concern at all? Because that really does bug me. I could give a rat's about the idea that she was distracted or driving or any of that kind of stuff, because I don't think that's actually the case. But the idea that she wasn't focused on voting and wasn't actually plugged into one of the most important votes that we have, that bugs me that she couldn't plan ahead for it.
I think that the first point you made, or the second one, which is correct, which is she was not breaking any laws, and this was a complete tempest in a teapot about nothing. I mean, there was no rule against voting from your car, because it just says you can vote remotely, and there was no distracted driving involved here. I think the other point that you made is an arguable point. I'll give you the other side of it, which is that I'm pleased that she found herself so dedicated that she didn't just absent herself from the vote and sort of go off to her planning meeting that she was going to. She's going to a planning meeting for some development in her ward. And a Zoom meeting, but she was going to participate in that. So, look, I think we're going to have to sort of come to grips just so it doesn't become a debating point again. But Paula Fletcher is as dedicated a counselor as you will ever find, and she would have felt badly about the fact this planning meeting was scheduled at the same time as we ended up having the budget vote, because you don't know when the votes are going to come on the budget. They come when the debate's finished, and that's when it's finished. So, you know, I want to give her the benefit of the doubt on that and say that what she was really doing was an excess of dedication to her job. But she wasn't breaking any rules. So, and this is just, it was a time waster for me. I finally called everybody on it and said, hey, she's not breaking any rules here. Let's get on with the votes. And we did. That's the real point. We shouldn't waste the time.
I liked when you were in talk radio and you guys didn't really like each other all that much. I remember those days.
It's so funny you would remember that. You know,
of course he does.
She called you out back in the day.
It's so funny. One time she came to the bottom steps at the city council. I was there representing 1010. He said, you know, come on down to the John Tory show. And it was hilarious. And she was mad at me for having I was having a town hall meeting in the city hall rotunda for people to protest the city budget. That is hilarious you'd remember that.
I've got a good memory, sir. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Have a great weekend, guys.
Thank you.
Toronto Mayor John Tory back with us on The Rush at 5:35 Monday afternoon.
It's 5:46.